2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 to verse 13. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank thee this morning for the goodness, mercy, and love that you have extended to us. We're thankful that you let us come together again as a New Testament church. And we stand in need always of your presence and power. And we pray this morning that it would please you as your word goes out under the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit to save some lost sinner. We know, Lord, the greatest need of any person is to be saved. But then, Father, after we are saved, we know that there is such a tremendous responsibility, and that is to serve you in the proper and the right way. We thank thee for this church. Thankful years ago that you saw fit to plant her here, and that you have watched over her through the years and led and guided and directed. And we always stand in need of your guidance and your leadership. You know what our needs are this morning. Our needs are many. We stand in need of revival. We stand in need of our hearts being enlarged, our hearts being stirred. And, O Lord, this morning I pray that you would, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us and edify us and build us up in the faith, and that there would truly be revival in our hearts and our lives. Now, Father, we thank thee and pray for the elderly people of our church. Many of them need you in a special way this morning. And we pray that you'd be very dear and very gracious to them. Now I pray for those that are sick and not able to be here in the services, that you would bless them. We thank especially Ray Baby, Lord, that you'd work in his life. And we know what his needs are. You do, both physically and spiritually. So now, Father, we just pray that you would guide us and direct us and lead us and forgive us of our sin. In Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. I'm going to preach this morning on an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart. This sort of rang a bell to me when I read this passage of Scripture. Paul was concerned about the Corinthian church. I think this is evident, as we notice in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 6, it said, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. I believe from this first verse we can see that Paul was concerned and had a great concern for the people at Corinth, for the Corinthians. It's evident. He was concerned for them to be a separated people. All you have to do is read the remainder of this chapter, especially verse 14 through 18, and you'll see that Paul admonishes them, but he speaks concerning his love for them. And he tries to emphasize to them his concern is because of his love for them. And I believe that this is, of course, what happens many times in a family, in a home, when a father or a mother is trying to talk to their children or their child and trying to get them to live the right kind of life, and they manifest to them by doing so, and they'll say, one of the reasons I'm doing this is because that I love you. and because that I care for you. When you read the 6th chapter, the 7th chapter, and the 8th chapter, and go on here in 2 Corinthians, this is exactly what you see from the Apostle Paul and what he says. But he also speaks concerning some of the cares of the ministry. Some of the things that he was willing to endure for their sake. He talks about verse 3, he says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Now, he's talking about the love he has for the Corinthians is because that God hath placed him in the ministry and hath given him the love for them. And so there are certain things that come to him in his life and the cares of life that he goes through because of his love for them. He says in verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, and he says in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and distresses. And he's talking about some things that are in the ministry. This is what Paul is talking about, some things that he experiences in the ministry, and he does this because of his love for the Lord and his love for the people there at Corinth. He said in stripes and imprisonments and tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Now what he's saying here is, he speaks concerning some of the cares of the ministry. And he says that these things that I endure, or these things that come to me, is and that I endure or will allow to be in my life or part of my life is because of my concern for you or my love for you. He has an enlarged heart and he desires that they also have the same enlarged heart for the cause of Christ. That's basically what he's saying here. He's saying the love I have for the Lord, the love I have for the work of the Lord, the love I have for you is the same love that I desire that you have for me, for the work of the Lord, and for the cause of Christ. And so this is a subject that we are introduced to by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church that I believe that would apply and would be a practical lesson to any true New Testament Baptist church of our day and of our time. First of all, there has to be the man of God that has a love for the Lord and a love for the people of God that God has given to him. But in turn, there has to be a people that has a love for the Lord and for also the man of God. Now, we like the times, and we hear much today about people having all kinds of heart problems. You know, our president, and then people that we know that have heart attacks, and various people that have open heart surgery. Now, a person that has a heart problem many times is in trouble. It is said many times you have a problem with your heart, and sometimes they say it's enlarged. You may have a short lifespan, or you may have some difficulty, but you can live a normal life. This is said many times. And we hear this often. This is something that is an everyday occurrence and something that we become accustomed to. But Paul here is not speaking of a physical condition. And we have to understand And we have to realize that Paul is not speaking of a physical condition. It is something different than that. It is something far more severe than that. And he says here in this, if you'll notice, my heart or our heart is enlarged. Now, first, I would like for us to notice some things that are in these three verses. That is verse 11, 12, and 13. Now, I'm going to read them, and you follow with me, and then we'll notice some things that are said from these verses. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straightening us, but you're straightening your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Now it's easy for us to understand who it is that's doing the speaking. We know that it's talking about the Apostle Paul, who was writing to the church at Corinth, and it's easy for us to understand who it is that Paul is speaking to when he said, O ye Corinthians. I think sometimes, you know, it goes without saying that we forget who it is that's speaking and sometimes who I am speaking to. I am not speaking to those that are not here because that's to no avail. They cannot hear me. But I am speaking to this church. And I believe that the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that he is speaking to the Corinthian church. Now, he starts out and he says, our mouth is open unto you. Now, what he means by this is that Paul said, we speak freely and fully. In other words, what I've got to say, I say it freely. And what I'm going to say, I'm going to say it fully. I'm going to have freedom in saying it, and I'm going to say everything that needs to be said. In other words, I believe that really what it boils down to here, his heart was full on the subject. In other words, it was a subject that was up on his heart. Amen. Now, it's hard to do anything half-heartedly. And if your heart's not in it, you're not going to really do to the fullest degree the job that you ought to do. I think we can illustrate this. It is different in sitting down and writing a letter to somebody because you have to and your heart's not in it than it is sitting down and writing to a letter to somebody that you want to and your heart's in it. You know what the difference will be? The words will flow freely. And the words will come forth fully. In other words, because your heart is full and there's someone that is going to receive that letter that you love and that you want to say some things to them that is up on your heart and is up on your mind. And so I believe this is what the Apostle Paul was saying here to the Corinthian church. Our mouth is open unto you. In other words, his heart was full on the subject, and he loved them, and he felt deeply concerning them. And I believe this is what the Apostle Paul is saying here in this verse. But not only did he say, our mouth is open unto you, but he said, our heart is enlarged. Now, I believe that this means here that Paul had, the Apostle Paul had a strong affection for them. In other words, it was just not somebody that he knew or an acquaintance that he had just maybe met, but it was somebody that he had an affection for. All you have to do is go back and read and see Paul's trips and his missionary journeys and where he was and what he did and how he labored with the Corinthian church. And so he had a strong affection for them. Now I believe that it's real easy to listen, I mean to say something to somebody that you have an affection for. It is a lot easier to talk to somebody that you love or that you have an affection for than somebody that you really don't love and you don't have any affection for. It's a lot easier. But it's a lot easier also to receive what somebody says to you that you have an affection for and that you have a love for. That's why sometimes it's so hard, the preaching of God's word is so hard and so hard to be received. Because if it's received by someone that the preacher loves, in other words, he's preaching to that he loves, and then they're receiving it because they love the man of God, it's so easy when it comes that way. But it's so hard the other way. And too many times it is the other way, rather than being the way that it ought to be. And you know, and I know that if I have feelings toward you, strong feelings that I ought not to have, it's hard for me to say to you what I ought to say in the manner I ought to say it. And if you have something against me, then it's hard for you to listen to what I'm saying to you from the Word of God. And so I believe that Paul is bringing this out. And so he has a strong affection for them, a heart which embraced and loved them all, in spite of their faults and things that were wrong with them. It's not always that I love your things, faults or things that you do wrong, but thank God I can love you as a person, even though that you may be in error or there may be something wrong with you. So we see here that it was a heart filled with love so great for them, and he loved them, and his love was so great for them, he was willing to be reproached. And you have to be willing to be reproached. You have to have that kind of love. His love was so great for them, he was willing even to be persecuted. His love was so great for them, he was willing even to be poor. He was willing because his love was so great. And I believe that this enlarged heart was a heart full of love will give vent to its feelings. In other words, it will bring forth and there will be manifested those feelings, and it'll be in words and it'll be freely and it'll be full. But then he goes on and says, now this is verse 11, O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Then he says in verse 12, you're not straitened in us, but you're straitened in your own bowels. Now he loved them fully. It's what he's trying to manifest to them. He said, you're not straitened in us. He loved them fully. His love was not a limited love because of circumstances, or because of who they were, because of little things that come up time and time that are disagreeable. His love was not based upon that. In other words, you're not straightening up. He loved them fully. And he sought their spiritual welfare. And I believe this is what churches need to come to grips with many times. Through the years, it seems like there has been the feeling of that the pastor's against the people because he preaches them the truth, and the church is against the pastor because he stands for the truth. And if it's like that, it'll never it'll be vain. It'll never amount to anything. It'll always be to avail. But we see that he loved them fully, and he sought their spiritual welfare. And one of it was an interest in his heart and his mind, and the love he had for them was their spiritual welfare. Amen. But then he goes on and says in this verse, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now what he means is here, they did not return the same love. The love that he manifest to them, or that he sent to them, They did not return the same look. What had happened? And if you read through here and some of the things that you catch or get a glimpse of or see, what had happened is they had listened to some false teachers. And they'd let some other people lead them astray and said, now, Paul don't really know, he's not really right on this, don't listen to him. And so that had caused them to not hear the truth and to not follow the truth. And that's an age-old problem. First church I pastored, the things that I came down the line on, then the people immediately went to somebody else and said, now we want to know whether our pastor's right or not. Well, they did wrong by doing that. Amen. Because that fellow was a liberal to begin with and said, well, no, he's not right. And so then you can imagine what kind of a pastorate that turned out to be. I mean, it was just a commotion all the time. In other words, and so this, I believe, was some of the a thought or something that had happened here at Corinth is some false teachers had come in, and so they had begun to listen to some false teachers, and therefore they had sort of turned a deaf ear to the Apostle Paul. And so Paul had to say to him, he said, my mouth is open to you, and I have an enlarged heart, and I'm interested in your spiritual welfare. But you find that, now look what he says in verse 13. Now this is talking about Paul and the Corinthians and the Corinthians and the Apostle Paul. Now look at this. Now for a recompense in the same. In other words, there's some recompense that needs to be brought forth. In other words, they need to do something. Is what he's saying here. He's requiring of them or asking of them that they do something. Now for a recompense in the same. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about open your heart in the same manner toward me. That I'm opening my heart toward you. That is the spiritual welfare of those people and the love. Now he did not ask for silver or gold or any earthly possession. He didn't ask for that. And these are not the most important things in the Lord's work. Now they're a necessity at times, and they are important, but they are not the most important thing in the Lord's work. The most important thing in the work of this church is that I'll love you and you'll love me, and in doing so we'll love the Lord and we'll serve the Lord faithfully. That is the most important thing. I believe that could ever be. He asked for a return of love and a devotedness to the cause which I love, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and his work and his cause. That's what he was saying here in this verse. Now for a recompense in the same. Now he speaks to them in a sense as their spiritual father, as their spiritual leader. He said, I speak as unto my children. And I believe there was such a relationship here that, and what he was saying to them, he said, now be ye also enlarged. Have the same enlarged heart that I have. The love that I have for you is the love that you should have for me. The love that I have for the Lord is the love you should have for the Lord. The love that I have for the things of God and for the being separate from the world is the same that you should have. Be ye also enlarged. In essence, he was saying, love me as I love you. I don't know of anything more that a person could ask. Do you? But he says, now give me some proofs. In verse 4 and 5, but in all things approving ourselves. Now give me some proofs. As the minister of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in stripes, in strife, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching. And one of the proofs will be, yield obedience to the law of the gospel by separating yourself from the world. There's the biggest proof. Verse 14 down through verse 18. So that's just a few things that we've gleaned first from the verses. Second, let us notice some things concerning an enlarged heart. Now, how is our heart enlarged? The first thing that I want to think about. How is our heart enlarged? Now, all of us know, I'm sure that most of us know, that we had a heart problem. I mean, we definitely had a heart problem. I'll tell you how it's described. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17:9. And here's the problem that we all have. Every one of us that are saved by the grace of God. Now, I'm preaching to those that are saved, that are children of God. Jeremiah 17, and there in verse 9. Here's the heart problem we have. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? Now that's a heart problem. And that's the worst kind of a heart problem. Now, if you'll back up a little bit to Isaiah. Now, there's a thought given here, and I just want to get this idea out of this and to show you the condition that we were in before that we received an enlarged heart. Now, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6, and he said, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is thick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even of the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Now we had a problem. Every one of us here this morning that are saved by the grace of God and have an enlarged heart, we had a problem. And the problem was our heart was deceitful and desperately wicked. And there was not anything on us, and there was no way that we could really love the way that we ought to love, the way that God requires for us to love. But now, we have a heart problem that God gives us. And I tell you, it's a wonderful heart problem. And God has given it to us. I thought about what transpired or took place when the Apostle Peter, you remember when the Apostle Peter was preaching there in Acts chapter 2, and those people he was preaching to had a heart problem like is described in Jeremiah 17:9. But then God began to work on their hearts. And look what he did. God gave them another heart problem in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. The gospel was preached and preached. Peter was preaching the message. But then look what happened in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now I'll tell you, that makes a change in a person that is in a description of Jeremiah 17:9. And the first thing that God does is that God pricks the heart. And every one of you here this morning, including myself, that has an enlarged heart, we have it because God has given it to us. And it began with God pricking our hearts. And oh, how they need to be pricked and they need to be stirred. But then it was finished up with God opening our hearts. Look in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Now God first pricked the heart, but he also not only pricked the heart, but then he opened our heart. And this is the reason that we have an enlarged heart this morning. In the 16th chapter of Acts in verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us." Now notice, whose heart the Lord opened. Now notice, God pricks the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And then God opens the heart of men and women and boys and girls. And then what are they able to do? that she attended to the things which were spoken of by Paul. When God pricks the heart and opens the heart, He then enables us to believe with the heart.
Amen.
And up until that time, we cannot believe with the heart.
Amen.
We can believe with the head. We can have all kinds of knowledge of what the Scripture says, or the Word of God says. But brother, that won't get the job done, and that's not salvation. Salvation is only after God has pricked the heart and opened the heart and enabled us to believe with the heart. Look in Romans chapter 10. There in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Now look at this. And in thine heart. Now why is it in thine heart? It's because God has pricked your heart and God has opened your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with the Lord, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
Brother, I think back and I think of the awful heart problem I had.
Amen.
Terrible condition that I was in. Terrible condition, hardened and had no feelings, no concern for anyone, no real love for anyone. Had a terrible heart problem. But then God gave me a heart problem that enlarged my heart, that changed my heart. He pricked my heart. He opened my heart and He enabled me to believe with the heart. Now the results of that is that I'm saved. Well, that's how our heart is enlarged. Because of what I've just preached to you is why Paul could say to the Corinthians, our heart is enlarged.
Amen.
Tell you, there's one time he couldn't say that. He had letters to persecute Christians. Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8. And so now we find totally a different person. We find a man now with an enlarged heart. Not a heart that is so hard and held, bent and hard on the things of God. So we see now, secondly, what is the result of an enlarged heart? What are some of the results? Well, all of this has been brought about to bring forth these results, and that is, I believe, the Apostle Paul made this very clear when he said over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now here's the result of an enlarged heart. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now look, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Here is the result of an enlarged heart. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. And we're rooted and we're grounded in love. And I believe this is exactly what Paul was saying over there to the Corinthian church when he said that he had an enlarged heart. Now why could Paul feel that way about the Corinthian people? Well, you read that Corinthian church, they had as many, if not more, problems than we did. I mean, you read about that church. Well, everything you could almost think of was wrong sometime or another in the Corinthian church. And in spite of all of this, God had given Paul a love for that church to preach to them. Now why would he do that? It's because God had enlarged his heart and enabled him to know what love was.
Amen.
Look in verse 18. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, now notice, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Brother, until God pricked your heart and opened your heart and enabled you to believe, you had no way of being able to even begin to comprehend the love of God. What it meant for God to love you and for you to love somebody else. No way could you comprehend. No way could you ever love the unlovable. Well then, there is the sense the result of an enlarged heart is not only that Christ dwells in our hearts, but also He purified our hearts by faith. In the book of Acts, in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, and there in verse 7 through 9 of that 15th chapter, you'll notice again here in this writing, it says, when there had been much disputing, this is the 15th chapter of Acts, verse 7, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us. Now notice, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. The old apostle Peter, he'd never eaten anything common or unclean. And the one thing he wasn't going to do is have anything to do with a Gentile or preach with a Gentile. But God took care of that.
Amen.
And God brought it about the word that he went to the house of Cornelius. And salvation came to the Gentiles. And so we see here the result of an enlarged heart is Christ dwells in our heart and he purified our hearts by faith. But one of the great things that a result of an enlarged heart is he has shed his love abroad in our hearts. This is the reason Paul could say what he said. I tell you, to do what Paul did and what we do, it takes an enlarged heart. You have to have an enlarged heart to do the work of the Lord. Whether you're the man of God or whether you're the member of the church, you have to have an enlarged heart. And one of the results of having an enlarged heart is Romans 5:5. We see in that passage of Scripture, it says this. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, here in Romans 5:5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now you know what I can do and you can do? Because of this, because of having a large heart, we can love the unlovable. In spite of ourselves. In spite of the flesh. We can love the unlovable because we have an enlarged heart. The kind of enlarged heart that the Apostle Paul had. And because of an enlarged heart, we can love the lovable. It all goes together and it all works in. But then I believe another result of having an enlarged heart is that you have a desire now that you didn't have before God opened your heart and enabled you to believe with the heart. What are some of the desires that you have now as a child of God because you have an enlarged heart that you didn't have before God saved you? Going over out of Romans 5:5, go to Romans 9:2. 1, 2, 3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. And he said all that to say this, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now what is it? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the result of an enlarged heart, a desire that God had given him in Romans 10:1. Turn over there. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'll tell you, the evidences this morning of having an enlarged heart is a desire to see people saved.
Amen.
We've got a host of people that are in almost every one of our services that are not saved. And I believe that it's our desire. And the only reason that we have this desire is because God has enlarged our heart and given us a love that they might be saved. But then another result of this enlarged heart is He gives us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, I used to not have no, before the Lord saved me, I'll just explain it like this in just some practical words. Before the Lord saved me, I didn't have any security and stability. And now, since I've been saved and given an enlarged heart, I'm safe and secure. And I have that feeling, you know, that comes. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and there in verse 22 of this passage of Scripture, and notice what he says. In this, I believe it's 2 Corinthians. I do make a mistake every now and then. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who hath also sealed us, and of it, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now that's knowing that everything's all right. That's knowing, regardless as to what comes or what happens, it's all right. And that's exactly as a result of having enlarged heart. Now, Paul said when he wrote to the church at Galatia, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, Paul had a problem, didn't he? He had an enlarged heart. I thought of found this thing to be sort of humorous when I had this physical problem, and somebody might say, what's wrong? I said, I've got an enlarged heart. I mean, I was talking about this scripture though. Scripture. But did you know there was another fellow that Paul knew had the same problem? His name was Titus. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 16. Now remember back what was given to us in 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13. And Paul said it, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Titus had the same problem Paul had in lost time. The care and the love that he had for them. Now how did this come out? Was Paul preaching to no avail? Did God not accomplish anything from the preaching of the Apostle Paul? No. 2 Corinthians 7, and look at verse 6 and 7. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now look at this. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, now look, your mourning, your fervent man toward me, so that I rejoiced in more. So what happened is, the Corinthians also manifested the same love. And they also, God gave them also an enlarged heart. And their love was for Paul, and their love was for Titus, and their love was for God, and their love was for the Word of God, and their love was for the cause of Christ. And I believe that that's exactly the way that God works. Now the change that comes in a person's heart only comes by God. Paul said this, and I close in Romans 6, 17 and 18. Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked. Now look at this. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So, I started working on this in February, and I thought, what a wonderful blessing it is to have an enlarged heart. Would you agree with me?
Amen.
What a blessing it is to have an enlarged heart. Regardless of the circumstances, we can love as God would have us to love. I used to not be able to do that. And you used to not be able to do that. But you can now. Because God has given you an enlarged heart. We're going to stand and sing in the closing.